And the scripture text we have for tonight is just one simple verse. And I don't have it in front of me. And do we have it? There we go. That's what I was waiting for. And it's this, from Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. To me, that's such a profound text because it says, so far as it depends upon you, and how often does it depend upon us? Often, most of the time. Not all of the time, but most of the time. And so tonight we're going to talk about that, but we're going to do it in a different way, not a sermon, not a message, but we have a very special guest because there are people in the world that take this so seriously that they devote their life to promoting peace so far as it depends upon them and do great things. So I want you to join with me in welcoming Aro, who just flew in from Muscat, Oman today. He landed and came directly here. So welcome, Aro. Great to have you. Have a seat. So I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I was really worried because I didn't have a sermon ready. And if he got stuck in the air or in customs, this would not be a special night. But it is because he's here, and I'm so thankful. Now, for those of you who don't know, Aro is director of Al Amana Center in Muscat, Oman. How many years have you been there now?
2 years.
2 years. And the reason for me it's so special is because I was the director of Al Amana Center in Muscat, Oman from 2001 to 2009.
Right.
And it was such a wonderful experience. And so much has changed, I know, at Al Amana Center. For one, you now have snazzy shirts, which we did not have when I was there. But that's great development to see.
I think the logo is more or less the same, isn't it?
The logo's the same. Yeah. It is. The logo remained the same. Now, can you say just a few words about who Al Amana is and what Al Amana does?
Sure. Well, thanks, first of all, Michael, yeah. and thanks, everyone, for being here. It's really, really my pleasure. And Al Amana Center is a very, very unique organization. It's a setting based on 125 years of the history of Reformed Church in America in the Middle East. But what we do at the moment is that we are, as the logo says, we are building trust and peace. We are bringing people together, Christians and Muslims, in Oman, but also from the different countries, and working together, different methodologies, and trying to build more understanding between, not only between religions, but actually between people.
How daunting do you think the challenge is? Because I'm thinking back to the time when we accepted the call to go to Oman. The center at that point really didn't have anything going. From a distance, it makes you wonder, what can you really do? And in the meantime, as you know, one of our jobs was to recruit funds to make all of this possible.
Right.
And I can remember going to someone and talking to him and saying, would you be willing to support us? Mm. And his answer was this. He said, I'm not sure if anything can ever be done there. It just seems like the task is too tall. Who can make a difference there? Mm. But it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
When you're there, kind of what hopes do you have that is possible through the work of Al Amana and the many partners that you have?
Yeah, it's a good question because the Al Amana, actually, we are claiming that we would build peace and trust in Oman, in the Middle East, and in the world. And we are six people.
Good, at least you're focused. So this is good.
Focused.
It starts with focus.
I think the one thing is that what we can do there in the country, and it's extremely important in the Middle East, in a country which is very peaceful, like Oman is, to have the possibility to actually have Christians and Muslims together, because there's so much misunderstandings, both ways, to be honest. There's a narrative in the West, in Europe and the US, that Islam is a certain type of religion which promotes violence or hatred, and as we all know, when we have been living with the people, living with Muslims, we know that that's not true. But at the same time, when we are there, we are kind of also promoting the Christian values, I would say, for Muslims in a way that when they are listening to news from the West, it's the same. They are saying, okay, so why Christians hate Muslims? Why do you not let us come to the America, for example? So kind of the Christians are being are being blamed something what Christians are not necessarily doing. So I think this is the one of the things what we really, really have to focus on, that that kind of lower those misunderstandings and even demolish them.
Yeah, that's so important, because when we have false stereotypes about one another that are really negative and pejorative, it can create such tension between people who have never met one another many times, right? It's just from a distance we have these ideas. And I was reading some statistics on global trends. And contrary to what we think here in the West, that we see religion on the decline. People talk about churches declining and religion on the decline. But globally, as we know, religion is on the increase. And religious affiliation is increasing quite rapidly, actually, in other places in the world. And one of the trends is, by I think it's 2055, if you know different, correct me, but by about that time, the world's population of Christians and Muslims will be about equal in the world, each coming close to one-third of the world's population. So two-thirds of the world's population will be Christian or Muslim. And so if Christians and Muslims cannot find a way to work together for the common good, this planet doesn't stand much of a chance. So it's such an imperative that we find a way forward.
I think it is, and there's a different place in the world where there is a more or less equal number of Christians and Muslims at the moment already. Alamana Center, we brought together imams and pastors from Nigeria in the end of March. And I think that's one of the things we need to work closer on, to have the countries where there are equal number of both Christians and Muslims, because they already are living the reality.
Yes.
That working together, that needs to happen. I think from the countries like where I come from, I'm originally from Finland, and we have very, very small Muslim population. I think the same is here in the US. There's a 1.5% of the population, I think, are Muslims. And that's growing. It's growing in Europe as well. And one thing what we have to learn at this point is to how do we live with minorities? As Christians, we are, at least in a society, in the culture, we are actually the majority here in the US or in Europe. And how do we make sure that the minorities who are living here, they are also being heard, they are also being respected. And for that, it's actually really, really good to live in Oman, because I'm living as a minority, as a Christian living in a Muslim country. It gives you a certain perspective that what would you like the majority to do to you, and then to practice that in the West.
Say a few words about what it's like to be a Christian in Oman, because it's a Muslim majority country. Yeah. I'm not sure if we just hear you're living there in a Muslim country. What's the place of Christianity? Is it welcome? Yeah. What is it like there?
Well, Christianity is very welcomed in Oman. We hear about Christians being persecuted in different parts of the world, and that's something which needs to be taken seriously. But in Oman, we are living very, very peacefully together, Christians and Muslims. We are worshiping as Christians. We are worshiping every week. There's an English worships. Main worships are actually on Fridays, because Friday is the socially kind of accepted holiday during the week. The Friday is a day when everyone is off the work. But certainly then there's also Sunday worships in the evenings taking place in the churches. We have very, very lively worshiping communities in Oman. The Catholics are there, Orthodox are there, different Protestant churches are there. And we're actually in the Protestant church, there's not enough space, because there's so many different churches who are worshiping one after another. And we are... Yeah, I think it's a good example of a Muslim country where the Christians are living peacefully and respected by the government.
And it's interesting too that the land upon which they built their buildings for the Christians and for the Hindus and others was given by His Majesty Sultan Qaboos, so that they were able to do it. And something happened when we were there. There was a hurricane that came through, and it happened to run through a wadi. It's like a dry riverbed, and it comes through the mountains, rushes through, and it just takes out anything in its path. It came right next to the church compound, and when it did, it overflowed and just filled the church buildings with mud, knocked down fences. It did incredible damage. After it settled, I think it was within about 24 hours, the church leaders were all contacted from His Majesty's office and said, "Can you just give us a letter with the estimate of the damages?" And they did. And then immediately checks were issued so that they could immediately start to repair and clean them so that the community could get back into them and use them. So it shows you kind of a sense of what it's like to be there. It really is quite remarkable, the space they provide.
It's true, and also I think partly that also links with the long history of the Christians and Muslims working together. It doesn't go only 125 years of history of the American missionaries, but actually goes further down the line, because Oman has been a country always where people have been traveling from India to Eastern Africa and back. And Oman has been the place where people have met each other. I think that's very, very important. I mean, being here now in New York, where there's people coming from different places, and you have to respect one another. You have to live together with different people. There's a lot of different languages here. And that's the same what has been in Muscat, in Oman, over the hundreds of years. And I think that is something which is then bringing us as people, not only as religions, but as people also closer together.
Now, we've been speaking more theoretically. What are the kinds of things concretely that you do through Al Amana to help promote this kind of understanding and shedding of stereotypes about one another?
I would say there's two different things we do. The one is that we do educational trips. So we welcome people from the US, from Europe, church groups, in the faith groups, to come to Oman for a week, and we organize a very, very, I would say, thorough and full program to meet with the people in the country, meet with different types of Muslims and different kinds of Muslims who are living there. And one of the very, very core methodologies for us is asking questions, as simple as it is, but asking questions from one another, that what do you think, and how, and this is what I have learned, is that true? And through those encounters and through those discussions, already in a week, we see that there's a huge changes, and there's a lot of new material for everyone to build their own narrative. So that is something I welcome also Mapu Collegiate Church to think about that, because we would really much love to have you there. The other part of the program, what we do, is that we want to provide a safe space for intra and interfaith groups to come and discern and discuss. I mentioned a group from Nigeria. Over the last half a year, we have had now groups from Pakistan, from Nigeria, and from Tanzania. All of them have come to Oman, facilitated by us and by Al Amana Center, to discuss about certain topics, what they need to discuss outside their own country. The Nigerians, when we had them with us, that was a training course for them, that how do they live together as Christian pastors and Muslim imams in a context where Boko Haram and the violent extreme groups are kind of taking the space. And the leadership from both the Christian and the Muslim side, they wanted to have that discussion, but they couldn't really have the discussion in their own country. So we provided the space. The same happened in Tanzania. There they had more kind of a local grievances, local disputes between Christians and Muslims, and we had a group from there come to us, and we were facilitating and trying to help them also in their own peace-building efforts back in their own country. I would say those two things are the main activities, what we do with our six people.
That's great. And it sounds like we should organize a trip, doesn't it? I think we should organize a trip to Oman. I'm all for going back. And as for people here, I mean, this is things that are taking place in the Middle East, and sometimes it can sound like something somebody else does over there. What kind of counsel or advice would you give to all of us? Because we're in New York City, very diverse. The religions of the world are all here. The languages of the world are all here. The people of the world are all here. What could we be doing, or what would you encourage us to be mindful of, engaged in, to make a difference right here?
Well, I think it starts from the song we had earlier on today, that peace starts from oneself, from me. I think that's where we all have to start from. I think the church is a wonderful community to actually then carry that out also. And I heard already that you had yesterday a scriptural reasoning session and the training. I think that's one of the methodologies we are using at Al Amana Center, because we want to have different ways for people to come together, find logical, natural ways to sit together, talk together, eat together. We actually, in our annual report, which is on the table, we were mentioning, I don't remember, was it 8,000 or 6,000 meals we had over the last year? Because we do think that counting the meals is actually the one thing when you have dialogue. So if you have any kind of an opportunities, now there's a Ramadan at the moment going on within the Muslim communities, breaking the fast with them, going to ask your neighbor, if you know someone who's Muslim in your neighborhood, wish them Ramadan Kareem, wish them happy Ramadan. I think kind of it starts from a small things in your own neighborhood. We do not have to go to the United Nations to start building peace between religions, but we have to do it on our own, in our own circles and with our own neighbors.
Well, I think that's great advice. And really what it does is it brings us full circle back to our own faith, to drawing in that peace that comes from God through Christ within us. And it's only from that place can we be instruments of peace in the world. If we don't have that, it's very difficult then to be an agent of peace in the world around us. I thank you so much for making that long flight.
Thank you.
Coming right here, as jet-lagged as you are, and spending some time with us. We are a supporter of Alamana Center here at Marble Collegiate Church. We're a supporter of the Collegiate Church, which is great.